I was thinking about doing this, and I was talking to Raven, and I was like, I can't do it because I have to get the camera going before I get up here. It'll never work. It'll never make the impact that was in my heart, really not in my mind, but in my heart to do. But what I was going to do is everybody pretend, okay, that I never saw you. And so, okay, now we'll pick up from that point. And so, sorry, I like using crazy examples because somehow they come into my heart and mind to do them. And see, it doesn't matter, and that's what I was going to say about what Raven mentioned. It doesn't matter what I think, what I believe at this point, or what I consider to be true at this point, okay? I can believe I'm before you. But all I see is this blank chalkboard. It's really not blank. It's actually really dirty. But that's all right. It's a chalkboard. That's all I see before me. So all that I see before me is all that I am knowing, regardless of what anyone tells me. Even if someone tells me, hey, look, Jimmy, I can describe to you perfectly what is present, except I see for myself, though you have told me the truth does not yet, listen, govern my heart. And because it doesn't govern my heart, ignorance continues to govern. And see, that doesn't change, it does not change the fact of the matter, the reality of it. I'm present before you, and yet because I don't see you, I have no clue. I'll probably act as though you weren't here, but I know you're here because I can hear you sometimes. I just haven't seen anything yet. And that's how we begin at the moment of new birth. We have literally been brought into the presence of the living God, something we could never have done, never have thought have done, never even knew could be done, never even thought we desired for it to be done. And yet in God's tender mercy, He has brought us to where He has purposed our soul to be. This happens at the moment of new birth. We enter into this reality at the moment of new birth. And at that very moment, though we have been brought by the Spirit of God into the very presence of God, except we behold the face of the one we have been brought unto, nothing of reality governs our heart. It doesn't change the fact of where our souls have been brought. So the Holy Spirit, before we were born again, has been working, preparing the ground of our heart for one thing, that our heart would turn unto the Lord. The very first time we repented, and that is our heart turned to the Lord, because repentance is not stopping to do bad things. It's just like this. Who had the goal? Now, this is going to sound kind of weird grammatically. Who had the goal of leaving the outside to come here? Right here, in this place. Whose goal was it to leave the outside? It sounds kind of weird, right? The goal wasn't to leave the outside. The goal, the intent, the purpose was to come inside. The Spirit of God has been preparing the ground of our heart, the ground of our soul, since before we were born again, that our heart would turn unto the Lord. when we repent, and that is the heart turning unto the Lord, not leaving from, but actually turning unto the Lord, at that very moment, we're born again because Christ appears in our soul. And though He is present, and because He is present, and we are now in the presence of the living God, the Spirit of God continues in like manner now that our heart would turn again. Not so that Christ can appear where He was not before. No, He's present. But so that we may see unto whom we have been brought at the moment of new birth. But until I turn around, there is a fellowship that I'm missing out on. Though it is present, ever present, I'm the one who's missing out on it. And the Spirit of God knows the truth. God knows the truth. Jesus is the truth. And all that He desires is to make known His Son, who is the truth. So the Holy Spirit continues dealing with my heart, preparing the ground of my heart so that my heart can turn yet once again. But now, it's not to be in some different place. No, I'm here. My soul has been brought at the moment of new birth. Now it's just to behold Him unto whom I've come. It's not about seeing. It's about seeing Him. I think it was Brother Lumen who said it's not about knowing, or Raven even touched on it too. It's not about knowing. We know a lot of stuff. It's about knowing Him. Him. When God created the soul, He created the soul with one purpose. That purpose is His very own Son. Not a message about His Son. Not a teaching about His Son. Though when we first hear the gospel, though when we first hear the testimony of Christ declared, that is what we embrace. We embrace a teaching. We embrace a message. And it is literally a light that shines in a dark place. Because the testimony, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But see, and I say this because I lived in this for the longest time. It is a light that shines in a dark place, but it's shining with purpose. Lamp unto my feet. It implies motion. It implies, hey, I'm not going to be stuck here. It implies motion, movement, light unto my path, a destined end, a purposed end. Peter said it this way, you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That's the testimony shining in our heart. The testimony directing our heart. The Holy Spirit using the testimony of God, the testimony that God gave of His Son in the Scripture, to direct our heart to Christ Himself until the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts. This is Christ Himself. All this directing our heart unto a person and nothing less than a person. Nothing less than a person. No one has to convince me anymore. And this is a very shallow example. A very shallow example. Very shallow. And yet with God it is so much greater. So much greater. Because as I stated, it's not about seeing things. It's not about seeing. It's not about knowing things. It's not about knowing. It's seeing Christ. It's knowing Christ. And see, everything of God is doing this, bringing, directing unto the person of His Son. This is what God does. He directs unto His Son. Think of the three wise men. Wise, the Magi, the wise men. Wise. Not according to the wisdom of this world. And yet in the Scripture says they were wise, they were Magi. And they followed a star. They followed a light. Who knows how long they had been following? Who knows how long their hearts were being directed until they came to the light of the world, Christ Himself. And see, it is not even about not sinning. And I know that's totally grammatically incorrect. It is not even about not sinning. It is not even about not missing the mark. It is about the mark, Christ Himself. I believe Rabin may have said it. We've all missed the mark. We have all missed the mark. With God, there's not like a bullseye, and then you've got like a 100 points, 50 points, 30 points, and hey, if you just get on the board, you're good. No. If it's not Christ, it's just not Christ. And see, it's not about getting out from, it's about coming unto. It's always about coming unto. And it's coming unto a person, His Son. I want to just make this comment that I have here. First, there is reality. Then there's the knowledge of reality. First, there's reality. Then there's the knowledge of reality. Reality comes to our soul at the moment of new birth in the person of Christ Himself. We have literally been translated at the moment of new birth. I told a group of students once, I said this, and it was before I read the scriptures in Ephesians to them. I just said, hey, you know what? I'm resurrected. And they were, you know, just like you guys, they were looking at me, so I said, hey, you know, you're looking at me right now, you know what? I'm resurrected. My life is resurrected because my life is Christ. And now, even with looking with the natural eye, I said, okay, well, some of you may say, well, I don't think so, Jimmy, I see you. And I said, well, okay, that's probably correct. You do see me. But with what do you see me? How do you see me? What are you judging my life by? Are you judging it after the natural senses? You've not seen my life. And if you've not seen my life, then you've probably not seen your life either, because our life is Christ. And our life is the resurrection that happens at the moment of new birth. The Lord says to Moses, tell the children of Israel, you saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. He didn't say chicken feet, eagle's wings. Resurrection unto heaven, unto a better message, unto myself. Knowledge, once again, is not the goal. Knowledge is actually automatic. I love the word automatic. Knowledge is automatic based on what we see. What you see governs you. What I see governs me. Yes, remember? Remember? Blank screen, big black square. Whatever I see governs me. It'd be rude if I stayed giving you my back, right? It would be. Why? Because you know I'm here. Regardless of what I know. Regardless of what I know. Regardless of my concept. Regardless of what I read and how I interpreted in the scripture what I read. My interpretation doesn't count. No. And yet, I must read the scripture. Why? A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And yet in reading the scripture, I can't just say, okay, I know what Jesus said now. Okay, I know what Paul said now. I know what the scripture says now. I got it, Holy Spirit. I know what it says. I know what it says. I know what it says. Okay, you know, when it doesn't work, I'm still here. I know its purpose. God knows the purpose which He gave the Scripture, regardless of what we know. It's not a matter of knowing what it says. The intent of the Scripture is to direct our heart unto Christ. That is it. God does this. God knows this. It's a miracle of God. It is a miracle of God to see Jesus in the Scripture. This is the testimony. This is when you begin to see the testimony, which is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. That is a literal miracle of God. You cannot pull Jesus out of the Scripture. Before the Apostle Paul was born again, when he was Saul, he would tell you, I could not pull Jesus out of the Scripture. He studied the thing fanatically. I mean, he was a Pharisee. I'm not that detailed. He's detailed. He would be like one of those, what is it, Mallory? Compulsive? Obsessives? I've got nothing on him. Yeah, all that. Give me one of those little spinners. You know? No. He was a Pharisee. I mean, he used his training, he used his own quirks to say things like, you know what? The Scripture said, and to Abraham and his seed, singular, it's very singular, seed, not seeds, seed, where the promise is made. And see, we read that and it's like, oh yeah, well, I've read it in Galatians. No, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. That's too technical, Paul. Why? Because it's declaring Christ? Because he has found Christ in a passage? Because he has seen the testimony in a passage of Scripture? Now that he must present that very testimony before the Spirit of God and say, take this and lead my heart to its destined end, that you may bring my heart in knowledge. From my knowledge, which is complete ignorance of Christ, unto the knowledge of God, which is His Son. The Scriptures are so important because they are the one thing given of God that the Spirit of God uses to direct our heart unto Christ. It is a true testimony. Everything that God permits, allows, does, is with one intent, to bring our heart unto His Son. Again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Paul would have said it this way, not that I've attained, hey, but I press on. The high calling of God in the person of Christ Jesus. Again, and again, and again, and again. There was never a moment in this guy, in this brother's life, that he could say, I've got it. With every scene of the Lord, his confession was probably something like, my God, you're greater than what I thought. With every scene of the Lord, again, and again, and again, and again. This is one of the things Paul wrote. It's in 1 Timothy. And I do like to just make this statement that everything that the Apostle Paul declared, wrote, preached, taught, proclaimed, is based upon one thing: God revealing His Son in him. That is what it's based on. He said, you know, the gospel, the good news that I'm declaring, I didn't get it by way of man. I didn't learn it from sitting at the greatest teacher of one of the greatest teachers in all Jewish history, Gamaliel. I didn't receive it that way. I didn't learn it that way. I wasn't in brother or sister so-and-so conference session listening. It didn't come to me that way. I didn't get it from all my insanely scrupulous study of the Scriptures. I didn't get it that way either. I didn't get it from all my learning, from all my religious background, from all my training. He was a Pharisee. I didn't get it that way. I didn't go to Peter and just hang out with Peter and just listen and see what Peter had to say, or John, or James, or any of the others. I didn't get it that way. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. When God was merciful enough to bring my soul unto His Son, and then continue to bring my heart unto where He had brought my soul in reality. This is what I declare. I don't declare a teaching. I don't declare a message. I declare a person I am knowing face to face. Remember, whatever we are seeing is what we know, and whatever we know is what we declare. That's automatic. That is automatic. If I am seeing a testimony of Christ in the Scriptures, it's what I declare. If I'm seeing a list of do's and don'ts, that is what I declare. Moses comes down Mount Sinai with two tables of testimony. I mean, from the very get-go, God, what does He do with the whole people, children of Israel? Present to them the testimony of my Son. Moses saw a perfect testimony of Christ. So here comes Moses with a testimony of Christ, the tables of testimony. You can look it up. It's in the Scriptures. Tables of testimony. And yet all the people could see was a list of do's and don'ts. Regardless of what they saw, regardless of what they thought, God knew what He intended. And their thinking, their thought, does not change the intent of God. My thinking, my thought, my understanding does not change the intent of God. When I, like a sheep, go my own way, the Spirit of God still knows why my soul exists. Directs my heart back unto purpose again. And again, 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 throughout eternity. This is the Apostle Paul here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'll just actually start in chapter 1 and chapter 1 verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now he's going to talk a little bit about himself. He doesn't talk much about himself, but when he does, it's good to see what he's got to say. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. I was shown mercy. I didn't get it. I was shown mercy by God. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I was shown mercy. I've been on mercy for about 3 years now. Mercy is when there is one who has no power to do anything. no power to change the situation or the condition. Mercy is when someone else shows up who is all power, who has the ability to change the condition, the situation. God showed us mercy the moment we were born again. He extended mercy unto us to bring our soul from a condition of death, lost to the intent of God, lost to the purpose of God, unto Christ, the condition of life, the intent, the purpose for which our souls were created. God extended mercy because we could do nothing to be born again. We could do nothing to receive Christ. Isaiah says it this way. There's none that seeks after God. There's nothing of Him that we desire. Nothing. 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 I mean, we'll fall in love with the Scriptures before we fall in love with the person. I will fall in love with a teaching and a message before I will fall in love with the person. There's nothing of Jesus my self desires. I want me. Why should I lie? It takes the miracle of God to direct my heart unto Christ, just as much it takes the miracle of God to direct our heart unto Christ. Because we all, like sheep, we go our own way. Hey, it's about this. No, it's about this. Oh, it's about this. No, it's about this. But with God, it's all about His Son. Very singular. Very singular. A person. A person. So here's Paul, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. I received mercy. I was granted mercy. I was extended mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And the grace of our God, of our Lord, was exceeding abundant. Now, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, it doesn't matter how close you get to the bullseye. We all miss the mark. And see, to save sinners wasn't about, oh, you've done bad, Paul. You did wrong. No. Remember? That's the way that's what man does with the testimony of God. He doesn't see the testimony of Christ. He sees the list of do's and don'ts. Remember, Moses comes down the mountain with the tables of testimony, presenting Christ. That's all God ever wanted to do, was present His Son. I mean, they were in Egypt. How did God get them out of Egypt? He presented His Son in the form of a lamb. There was no deliverance till the lamb appeared. None whatsoever. And throughout their whole journey to come to Canaan, what is God doing? Presenting His Son time and time and time and time again. One of the things He says to Moses, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Basically, so that they may know I am in the midst. Put the sanctuary, the tabernacle, in the middle. And have them come all around and camp all around, that they may be governed by glory, that they may be governed by me. And though they couldn't see it, they couldn't understand it, yet the testimony is there. When the cloud stayed, they stayed. When the fire stayed, they stayed. When the fire or cloud moved, they moved. They were governed by the glory of God, which we know to be found in the face of Jesus Christ. They were governed. Governed is a good thing. My hand is governed by my natural mind right now. If it were not, it would be a bad thing. It would be doing its own thing. But my body is governed by my natural head. And that's a good thing, because it's good for my whole body. Yes, for my whole body. If one member of my body is not governed by my head, it could be detrimental for the whole body. And see, God's way of directing our heart under Christ isn't like, oh, you did bad, burr, 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 burr. No, 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 that's the law. That's what we think of. That's what we perceive things to be. That's what we think. That's what we think, our concept. Well, it doesn't matter what our concept is. What the Lord does, He kind of puts things back into place so it can function accordingly, so it can be connected to the head and be governed naturally by life. Life. Going on with 1 Timothy, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. To save those who were lost unto God's intent, His Son. Who were not hitting the mark, the purpose for which their soul was created. To save, to bring back unto you the original intent. And it's not like, oh, well, you know, we all started out good and then we fell and now God's going to bring us back. No, 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 no. It was in the heart and mind of God. Remember, God, before He created the soul, says, this is the purpose for which I'm going to create the soul of man. It is my Son. And so He creates the soul of man, and the soul of man is totally lost to purpose until God, by His Spirit, brings the soul unto Christ. So missing the mark, sinning, is not about having what you did, what you didn't do. No, no, no. It's about not hitting the mark, not coming to the intent, not beholding the purpose for which our soul was created. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, I was shown mercy, that in me first, I've got a note. This is a good verse. And I'm going to read it in some translation. It's a real good translation. Give me just a second. I'll find it. It's on my phone that I don't have. And oh yeah, here it is. I guess it's the Bible in basic English. For this reason, I was given mercy, so that in me, the chief of sinners, Jesus Christ, might make clear all His mercy as an example to those who in the future would have faith in Him to eternal life. Let me read it again. But for this reason, I was given mercy. I was shown mercy so that in me, the chief of sinners, Jesus Christ, might make clear all His mercy as an example to those who in the future would have faith in Him to eternal life. Okay? Now, bless you. Let it go! Hey. Let it go. No, just kidding. kid at heart. Missing the mark. Here's an example. I remember once sharing this, and it made total sense. I was trying to get to a particular destination where Rabin was already at, and I said, Rabin, how do I get there? Now, Rabin knows me. He knows I get car sick. So he says, my GPS says go this way. And I texted him that, hey, or maybe I called, I can't remember. This is what it's saying to go. What should I do? Rabin says, look, this is the way you want to go. I didn't get upset with him. I wanted to be where he was at. I didn't get upset with him. Now, had I gone my route, I maybe would have gotten there. I would have gotten there sick. And it would have taken probably maybe a whole day to recoup. But he knows me. Now, love edifies if I am going my own way because I know what I want, I will not get upset when a brother and sister says, "Hey, Jimmy, over here." Because I know, to whatever degree, what I want. I'm not going to get upset with him. And see, Paul, on the other hand, was going his own way when he was Saul, and had someone approached Saul and said, "Hey, Saul, you know, I know you're a scholar. I know you're a student disciple of Gamaliel. I know you know more than I do. Bless you. But, you know, there's a more excellent way." Paul wouldn't have said, "Oh, thank you, brother, sister." No. Paul was in the presence of Stephen when he was declaring the purpose of God, for which God created the soul. Paul was in the presence hearing the testimony of Christ given by Stephen. He was there. He wasn't thankful for what he heard, but thank God he heard. Right? He got upset with that. So much so that he said, "Hey, let me get your coats while you stone him. Go for it. I'm all in it. He doesn't agree with what I think. Kill him." Whereas we are more civilized. "Well, you know, that church doesn't agree with what I believe, so I just don't hang out with them." No, that wasn't Paul. "They don't agree with what I believe? Kill them. Waste them. I'll waste them." That's what he did. He went around wasting the body of Christ. I mean, he wasn't just like, "Oh, you guys are off." No, he was like, "You guys are off and you need to die." Chief of sinners. I mean, missing the mark? God, in his mercy, didn't make Paul know that he missed the mark. God, in his mercy, drew Saul at the time, unto the mark. Jesus appeared unto him. "Who are you, Lord? Because I have no clue. I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You've been going one way. The Spirit of God has been trying to direct you in the way, and you've been resisting. But thank God, the Spirit of God is faithful unto the truth. And I am here because of the faithfulness." "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, the chief of sinners, Jesus Christ, might show forth all long suffering for a pattern, an example, to them which should hereafter believe in him to everlasting life." What does that mean? See, we don't know. We read what Paul reads and say, "Gosh, he was one of the best guys out there." No, he wasn't. He was one of the worst guys out there. He was terrified. The church was terrified of this man. He was a terror unto the body of Christ. We kind of forget that. We want to forget, you know, that, well, yeah, he was bad, you know, just whatever, but now he's good. No. And see, Paul knew what was, and Paul knows who is by the mercy of God. And I thought once, how could this guy live with himself? I mean, he just wasn't bad. He was rank. I mean, he was bad. You know, I don't even know like a word. You know, we measure one another by the actions, thoughts, deeds, whatever. And it's like, oh, well, that brother. Someone had mentioned it. Yeah, well, that brother, you know, he smokes. Well, yeah, that's, God can deal with that. And, oh, but that brother over there, you know, he does drugs. Or look at that brother. Look, oh, my God, I'm not even going to say what he did, you know. And blah, 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 you know. But this brother over here, you know, he reads his Bible. You know. We all miss the mark. There's no degree. With God, there's no degree. You either hit the mark or you don't. It's either Christ or it's not. The mercy and grace of God was consuming this man because he found the mercy and grace of God in a person. Not in a message, not in a teaching. Messages didn't do it. Teachings didn't do it. Remember? I didn't get this by what I was taught. I didn't get this by way of man. Man's teaching, man's learning didn't get this to me. He had an encounter with the living God. And he continued to have an encounter with the living God until the day he died. Philippian jail, towards his latter years. But I press on, that I may know Him. Not that I may know. He knew a lot before He was born again. That I may know Him. And I love the way he says it. Basically, I mean, we all want an example. And Jesus isn't in the Gospels for our example. No, that. Jesus is in the gospel to show us He is the purpose for which our soul was created. But here's Paul saying, hey, you want an example? I'm an example. Listen, if God can do it, this is basically what he said in this verse. If God can do it in me, He can do it in you. Listen, and He did it at the moment of new birth. I'll use myself. I am just ignorant of what the Lord hath done. So I continue like nothing's changed, though literally the eternal change came to my soul at the moment of new birth. And at the moment of new birth, it is literally not I, but Christ. But for me, who sees nothing but, oh gosh, darkness, it's still I, though God knows the truth. I'll go on. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's mankind. Man, women, whatever. Male, female. For all. For all. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all. And the word all is in there because I looked it up. For all. Pray for all. All. All you think is least, and all you think is great. All you think is, listen, worthy, and all you think is unworthy. Because in the mind of the Christians during that time, before Saul was converted, he would be considered as one who is unworthy. For kings and for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men, all mankind, to be saved. And come unto the knowledge of the truth. the truth, who is Christ Himself. But to come to the knowledge of the truth must be present. To come to the knowledge of Christ, Christ must be present. How can we know what is not present? You must be born again. Remember? I'll just quote him because I know I'm running out of time. Or actually, let me look at this this one word, the word all, because I've got it here. A note. 1 Timothy 4, 2, 4, who will have all. Okay. The term all is pas. Pas. It's Strong's number 3956. This is the online Bible Greek lexicon. It says this. Individually, each, every, any, all, the whole, anyone, all things, everything collectively, some of all types. Who will have... that was the word. Sorry, I gave you the wrong word, but that's all right. All is in there. Everything, everyone. The word was actually who will have. Now, I love this. Once again, this is the online Bible Greek lexicon. For the term have, who will have all? To will, have in mind, intend, to be resolved or determined, to purpose, to desire, to wish, to love, to like, to do a thing, be fond of doing, to take delight in, have pleasure in. God, our Savior, who delights in, takes pleasure in, has intended, has purposed for all to be saved. And come unto the knowledge of the truth. And I remember there was a time when my thought was, okay, now I'm born again, now what? And unfortunately, man told me the what. And I know you guys have heard the same story, the same thing. Oh, well, now it's about... And now it's about... And now it's about... And God is like, what about Jesus? It's still about Jesus. In the mind of God, it hasn't changed. God will not change. And I love that. He will not change. What governs our heart must change. And it will... What governs our heart must change. Remember, our soul comes to the eternal change when Christ, who is the eternal change, appears in our soul. Translated immediately. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of the Son of His love. From the condition of death, our souls were trapped in, could never escape from, under the condition of life, because the eternal life, who Christ Himself is in the soul. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell in the midst of them, so that they may know I am in the midst. One purpose, so that they may know I am in the midst. Every problem I ever have, every situation I ever have, every issue I ever have is one that governs because of ignorance of me knowing who is present. And remember, knowing is automatic. That's automatic. The goal isn't knowing. The goal is knowing Him. If I see the one who's present, hey, automatically, my hand connected to my head, it automatically does and functions according to life, according to the head. It doesn't have to try. No, it doesn't have to try. It just happens automatically. And what it does is based on love for the entire body. It's not based on, okay, you hand over here, you get to get your act together. No, it's based on, hey, you know what? Over here, get reconnected. Kind of hurt. Let's get you healed. We have it all wrong. And God knows it. And the Spirit of God remains faithful. Not so we can get it all right. No. So that our hearts can be directed unto His Son. I mean, I remember at times my prayer being, okay, Lord, I'm off. And I know my prayer is off. And I know You know my prayer is off. But I also know that until You direct my heart unto Your Son, I'll stay off. I can't do anything to get on. Get on track. I can't do it. If I could, I wouldn't need You. And so I do this. I confess my ignorance of who is present. I confess my inability to do anything about it, though He is present. And I have no clue. The wisest man on earth, the wisest man on earth. Lord, Thy servant is but a child, and I know not. The wisest prayer on earth as well. I don't know, and I have no ability to. And yet You know, and You have all ability to. And God isn't going to give me knowledge, no. He's going to make known His Son. It's not going to be my knowledge governing in the heart anymore, because when Solomon is not upon the throne, the heart, Jerusalem of the land, there's like, man, everybody's running to and fro. I'm the king. No, I'm the king. I'm the king. No, I'm the king. I love the statement you wrote, Randy, in your newsletter. It's beautiful. I actually was on those verses. I've got like, they're here, several pages of, so when I read, I was like, yeah, I'm the king. No, we don't do that. We don't like blatantly say, I'm the king here. No. But if I govern, then I'm on the throne. It's just automatic. All the while, Solomon is present in the land. Regardless of what the land knows, the chosen of God is present. The one who will bring peace, righteousness, governing the land. And thank God that David revealed His Son unto the land. Because when David made known the true heir, the true king unto the land, listen, the whole land had rest. Finally come to rest. Let me rephrase that. The land finally experienced the rest that was present in the person of Solomon. And yet Jesus says, a greater than Solomon is here. And you have no clue. That's what He told the woman in the well. If you knew the gift of God. Oh, well, we've got this well. Yes, you do. Well, we've got this teaching. Man, I've been in this for I don't know how many years now. Yes, you do. If you knew the gift of God that was present. God, our Savior, who will have all, who intended, who purposed, who delights in, who takes pleasure in, that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a purpose. It's in the Gospels. I won't read them. Matthew 5:15, Luke 8:16, Luke 11:33. There's a purpose for those who are in the house, and this is not the house of God. There's a purpose for those who are in the house, and there's a purpose for all that were destined to come into the house, and that is to see the light of the house. And I know some of you may say, well, yes, Jimmy, in context, Jesus was saying you don't light a, you know, a bush candle, put it under a bushel. And but in context, he was saying, you know, you are the light of the world and all this stuff. Well, our light is whatever testimony of Christ we have. That's light. Jesus also said, take heed that the light in you is not darkness. He spoke of John the Baptist. You know, you rejoiced in his light. He was a burning torch. What did he do? The summation of all the law and the prophets. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That taketh away the sin of the world. The missing of the mark of the world, because the world could never come to the mark. The world never even knew the mark. We had a laser pointer. You can't see it on that blackboard. I don't even see the mark. If I don't see what the mark is, how should I know what it is? I have no clue what it is. I think it's this over here. And then John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, now apart from sin. And see, that's the whole thing that was declared yesterday, which makes this all secure. God, in his tender mercy and ever-abounding grace, at the moment of new birth, has brought us unto the mark. Our hearts, which govern, on the other hand, are in la-la land, daydreaming. It's not real. It's just not where the soul is. But like I said, the Lord isn't really so concerned with what we think, with a doctrine we hold on to. He's not, I've said this, he's not come like the big bad boogeyman to take away our candy. He doesn't do that. No. He doesn't come to take away. He comes to give. He comes to give. He didn't come to take away the condition of death. He came to give the condition of life. For God, in this manner, loved the world that he gave. Oh, Jimmy, you quoted it wrong. It's really, for God so loved the world. Was it really? Said who? Why read it? That's how I learned it. For God in this manner loved the world. I try to not be holding on to what I've learned, because that's not life. That the second I do that, it's now a message, it's a doctrine, it's a teaching. And no message, no doctrine, no teaching has power. It's not effectual. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The message is true, but there's no power in a message. The doctrine is true, there's no power in a doctrine. The teaching is true, there's no power in a teaching. Christ is the power of God, who is present. God, our Savior, who will have, who intended, who purposed, who delights in, who takes pleasure in all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And thank God that John on the Isle of Patmos says, I heard a voice that spake behind me, because I had my back to the voice. By the Spirit of God, I turned to see the voice, and I saw the seven golden lampstands. The testimony, a burning testimony that directs unto the true light. And in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I saw him. So, God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, come unto Christ himself in knowledge. So that's it for today. That's all I've got. the Lord just be open to the Holy Spirit during this time. It's literally, I think it might have been Brother Lumen who said it. It's no coincidence you're here. It's no coincidence I'm here during this time. God has one intent, one purpose, and He's not going to let up on that. And He's going to do everything possible for us to realize that in our heart. Amen.